Good morning. Good morning. Let's just pray together for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word, for the Bible, that it is alive and can speak to us today. And we pray that we would let it do its work among us. Amen. Have you ever made a decision by drawing up a list of pros and cons, where you write the positives and the negatives and you see how they weigh up as a way of helping you to do the right thing? I expect many of us here are really familiar with the US sitcom Friends. It's about the life of six friends in their 20s and 30s who live in New York, and it follows them in their lives and their loves and their friendships and their jobs. And it ran for 10 years from 1994, but it just remains so popular. And my daughter, who was only 3 when it stopped filming, can tell you many of the episodes off by heart. Now, there's one episode where Ross is trying to decide whether he will date Julie or Rachel. And his friends Chandler and Joey encourage him to draw up a list of pros and cons to help him decide. There's trouble, of course, when Rachel herself finds the list. He starts with the cons for Rachel and says that she's a little spoilt sometimes. She's ditzy. She's too into her looks. She's just a waitress. When it comes to Julie, he can't think of any negatives except that she is not Rachel, which, of course, has to be one of the best positives if you're Rachel. Now, what if God drew up a list of pros and cons, positives and negatives, as to why he should choose us, why he should save us? What kinds of things would he say about you? Our reading today gave us a glimpse of that. Firstly, there's a list of cons, of the negatives. And it doesn't beat about the bush, does it? It tells us that we are foolish. And when the Bible uses the word foolish, it means that we're people who have lived our lives without reference to God. And then that has affected everything else. We do wrong things. We have bad habits that we can't stop. It's like we're slaves to them. We live for sex or food or shopping. Things that aren't bad in themselves, but which can sometimes control us rather than us being in control. We live our lives seeking revenge, being spiteful, bearing grudges. We're jealous of other people, and we're hated by people, and we hate them back. The mess in our relationship with God has led to relationships with each other being a mess too. Now, that's the nature of our human existence, the Bible says. You might recognize yourself in that list. You're all too aware of how much you fail and let yourself or others down. Or you might like to think that you're not that bad. In our culture, how we feel about ourselves is key. We must pretend that we're wonderful and present that to the world. But here is the Bible's definition of what we are like. There is no need to pretend with God. He knows exactly what we're like. But before we all pack up and go home in despair, before we just feel that it tells us what we know already, really, that God has a downer on us, that he's distant, hasn't got much time for us, we need to think about what God would put in the pros column. The reasons why God would want to rescue us. But when it comes to the pros column, God, in fact, isn't able to write much in it about us at all. God sees us as we are. He knows us through and through, knows that what we can do can never be enough. But instead, what he writes right across that column as to why he would want to save us is his kindness and his love. The Bible tells us that he saved us out of his love and kindness. The Christian God is a God of love and kindness, and that love and kindness was expressed in the person of Jesus, who was born and lived and died. We know that as a historical fact. And Christians believe not only that he died, but that he rose again from the dead and is still changing lives today. And there are two things we're going to think about from our reading, and they relate really well to what Sam and Richard are expressing as they've brought Leighton to be baptised today. And Will's already touched on them. Because of Jesus, we have two things. We have a birth and a bath. So a birth. I wonder what you think about when you think about birth. I think of someone being born, a tiny baby, a brand new person arriving. There is no one like them in all the world. I think of perfection and innocence, a whole new and unspoilt life beginning. I think of love and excitement and a birth, a new arrival is a miracle. We read that God gives us new birth in Jesus. He saves us. And that new birth means many of those things. The chance to have a new start, for your guilt and shame to be taken away, and you can begin again with your life. Elsewhere in the Bible, we read that when anyone is joined to Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and we are saved. And he has saved us because. And the because is key. It's the reason for our acceptance. How would you complete the sentence, he accepts me because? Because I go to church regularly, because I'm a good person, because I work hard and I mind my own business. Any reason that begins with I, with me, isn't any good, because it's back to us trying to come up with our list of positives again. We can have no confidence if we think it is because of something we have done. God has saved us, has given us new birth, verse 5 says, not because of any good things that we have done, but because of his mercy, which means his compassion and his forgiveness. We have to strip away confidence that is in anything except God. In our world today, there is the idea that we have to find ourselves, that the answers are within ourselves, that we each have to find our own path, and there is no one way to go. People spend a lot of money, you hear, traveling around the world, trying to find themselves. They think the answer lies within them. Our reading is clear that we need a saviour, that we need to be rescued, and that it lies in what God has done, not in what we have done or will do. We should remove any faith in ourselves. God has given us new birth. It is a gift from him, and it's out of his love and kindness that we are put right with him. God appeared in Jesus. He came after us. And in Jesus, he died on a cross so that we could be forgiven and begin again through the gift of new birth. God loves us and he wants to walk with us, to have a relationship with us, to give us new life, a life that's full of hope, both for now and for life after death. And so we're all in the same boat. Whoever you are here this morning, you may be very respectable and wealthy. You may always come to church, or this might be your first time. You may seem to be leading a good life, or you may feel your life is unraveling. You may think you're pretty good, or be all consumed by your weaknesses. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, however good or however bad we may seem in the world's eyes, we are all only put right with God through new birth in Jesus, which comes not about out of any good thing that we have done, but out of his love for us. That's the same for all of us. We are all equal. None of us can be saved unless we trust in the God who saves us, who comes looking for us out of his love and kindness. He gives us new birth. So Jesus gives us new birth, and he gives us a bath. Our reading said, he gives us new birth and new life by washing us. Why do we need a bath? Well, we need one because we're not clean. At the end of the day, we're dusty and sweaty, and we need to be made clean. And that's the same with our lives. We've been affected by what we've done wrong. We've all missed the mark. We fill our heads with pictures or screen images that are unhelpful for us. We're made dirty by our unkindness, by our words, by the fact that we can't forgive, and by broken relationships. And we need to be washed and made clean and given a fresh start. The good news is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, and when we come to him, God touches our lives. He makes us clean and new and puts us right with God in what Jesus has done. We can begin again. Like a bath, baptism involves water, and it involves getting wet. The water of baptism doesn't save us, but it's the outward sign and speaks of what's going on the inside. It's been lovely welcoming Sam and Richard into the life of St. Nick's, and their decision to bring Leighton for baptism is about Jesus becoming more and more part of their lives. And we pray for Leighton too, that as he grows, he will choose to follow Jesus. But as they take that step, take a moment to think about yourself. Think about your own baptism if you've been baptized. Are you still following Jesus? Or maybe you've given up somewhere along the way, but you'd like to come back and go deeper. Maybe you've never even begun following him, but you'd like to start. Please do speak to Will or me after the service if that is you, and we'd love to pray with you. It's important. It's a matter of new birth and new life and leaving the old behind. Wherever you're at, remember that it is God who gives us that birth and that bath. He gives us a new start and makes us clean. And it's his gift, not because of anything good we've done, but because of him. Because he is a kind and loving God, and he longs for us all to know that today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of love and kindness. And we thank you that you have saved us and you want to save us purely because of what Jesus has done, not out of anything that we have done or can do. Draw us in, help us to walk with you and be made new and clean today. Amen.